In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first reading from the letter of St. James, we hear that every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And then in the Gospel, from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus speaks of the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom he will send upon those who believe in his name. And so we consider this gift of the Spirit, the greatest gift, right? The gift of the Spirit. And we say that the Spirit is himself that great, good, and perfect gift. That the Spirit himself is the gift bestowed upon us. In fact, in a very real sense, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is properly called gift because he's the gift of love exchanged between the Father and the Son from all eternity. That's who the Holy Spirit is. We'll talk a lot more about that on Trinity Sunday. Don't worry, we'll explain much more about that on Trinity. That's going to be a long homily. Just be ready for it. Trinity Sunday is going to be a long one, which you'll love, of course. So we have Trinity Sunday, and we'll explain all of why the Holy Spirit is properly called gift. But he's this wonderful exchange of love between the Father and the Son. He is this perfect gift between the Father and the Son, who is then bestowed upon us. So indeed, every good and perfect gift is from above. And in particular, we point or we look to the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said something very interesting in today's gospel, and he said this on a number of occasions to his apostles. He says, I am going to the Father, and when I tell you this, you are sad. He says, you don't even ask where I'm going, you're just sad. He says, don't you see? It will be better for you when I go, for I am going to take my seat at the right hand of the majesty, the right hand of the power in heaven, the right hand of my Father, where I will reign, even in my sacred humanity. I will reign as King of the universe, King of heaven, King of earth, King of every heart. Much more to say about that in the month of June, when we think of how the Sacred Heart of Jesus must indeed be the King of every family and of every home. He says, you don't even ask where I'm going, but you are only sad, but I tell you it will be beneficial for you if I go. Because when I take my seat at the right hand of the Father, I will send upon you the Holy Spirit. And he will lead you to all truth. And by him, you will overcome the world. For the one within you is more powerful than the one in the world. Right? The Holy Spirit is really and truly God himself. So the one within us, the Holy Spirit, of course, the whole Blessed Trinity dwells within us, but in a particular way, we think of the Holy Spirit. The one within us is incomprehensibly more powerful than the one in the world. The Holy Spirit is far more powerful than Satan. So he says it will be beneficial for you if I go. So just a word on that line, a brief point of reflection. We often think, or it's often said, oh, wouldn't it be easier if only we could just walk along the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee it is, right? If we could just walk along the shores of the Sea of Tiberias with Jesus. If only I could just walk with him and see him face to face, it'd be so much easier. It'd be so much easier to believe. I could do everything so much better. That's a temptation, okay? That's a real temptation. It's not a sweet thought, actually. There's really a true temptation there, right? This idea of trying to go back to that time. Now, of course, you can't fault anyone for wishing that they had been there, right? I too wish that I would have been there. But I'm not so certain of myself to say that I would have done good, right? I'm not so certain of myself to say that I would have been faithful at the cross, for example. You know, if Peter ran away, if Peter denied him, who knows what poor Father Ryan might have done, right? Something much worse, no doubt. So who am I to say it would have been better? But we do have historical fact. There's all those what ifs. What if I could have been there? What if, what if, what if? And I say, let's look at the facts. Let's look at the facts and see whether it was better for us when Jesus went to his Father. Let's just look at the facts. Fact: in his lifetime, Jesus was totally rejected by men. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. That's the simple fact. Right? Even the small group of followers he had, a good number of them abandoned him after the Bread of Life discourse. Right? We'd like to say, oh, it'd be so much easier to believe in the Eucharist if only we heard Jesus say it. They all heard, and many of them left. Many of them left right there that day, right there in Capernaum that day. They left and didn't come back. Some perhaps did come back, but many of them left for good. Or we might say, oh, if only I had seen him, I could believe in his divinity. Well, many who saw him were scandalized by him. Right? Very few recognized that it was God himself in their midst. Now, just as very few, right, some ways would say, recognize him in the Eucharist, far fewer recognized his divinity as he walked among them, as he walked through the streets of Jerusalem. Right? Very few saw that man was God. And then what? When he returned to his Father and sent us the Holy Spirit, the very day that he sent the Holy Spirit, 3,000 were converted and baptized. The very day the Holy Spirit came upon in visible form upon the apostles, 3,000 in a day. In 3 years, not even 300 were converted. In one day, 3,000 were converted and baptized. The very first day. We can consider how the apostles, who, when they were with Jesus, were mostly somewhat coward. I don't want to speak negatively or in any way disrespectfully, right? But I think even they would admit, oh yeah, we were kind of cowards at that time. You know, Peter would say, yeah, I was a bit rambunctious at that time. You know, James and John would say, yeah, we probably shouldn't have asked Jesus about sending fire on that town after all, right? They would admit it. They would admit it, you know. They would say, right, we were a little bit ignorant in those days, you know, a little bit not very well formed. And yet, this group of men, who, when Jesus was with them, couldn't get much done. They couldn't even cast out the demon, right? Remember, after the Transfiguration, they come back down, or after the Sermon on the Mount, they come back down, and Jesus is like, what's up with this kid? And they're like, we can't do anything. He's possessed by a demon. We don't know what to do, Lord. They can't even cast out one demon, right? Jesus had to do it for them. And yet, what happens next? That was after the Transfiguration. What happens next? What happens next? Now that the Holy Spirit comes upon them, this little group of men go out and convert the whole world. Right? Not just one demon, but another, another, another. The whole world is converted. Satan's not cast out of just one boy, but right out of the whole world. The strength that they had and all the conversions, whole empires were converted by them. And so we say what a grace it is to live now in this age of the church. Right? What a grace it is to live in this age of the church. In a very real sense, and I know this is a bit strong, but in a very real sense, the people who walked the earth with Jesus could almost be envious of us. They could almost be envious of us to say, oh, if only I had lived in the days of the sacraments. If only I had lived in the days when I could see the church spread throughout the whole earth. Oh, if only I had lived in the days when the faith was proclaimed so clearly. If only. If only I lived in the days when the Holy Spirit was working so manifestly in the lives of the saints. They should be envious of us in a very real way. I mean, I can't fault any of us. Of course, we can't fault ourselves for wishing that we could have kissed Jesus' feet just like Mary Magdalene did. But we receive him in Holy Communion. We receive him in Holy Communion. That's greater. In a real way, that's even greater. Yes? And so the gift that we have in the sacraments and the gift that we have in the saints, to recognize that gift. So if we want to say, oh, if only I could have been there to see Jesus walk the streets of Jerusalem or see him walk on the Sea of Tiberias and so forth, if we say, oh, I wish I could have been there to see that, let's instead say, well, what am I doing now? Because I can visit him anytime I desire here in the tabernacle. He's just waiting for me to come and pay a visit anytime. You know, he used to go off into the desert to get away, right? He doesn't do it anymore. He just waits. He can come anytime. You know, they used to have to go into the city and, where's Jesus? Where did he go? They had to go looking for him, you know? Oh, he's back in the desert praying, right? And then the apostles come and say, Lord, they're looking for you in the city. And he says, let's go to the other cities then. But now, he's here, right here always, just to listen to you. Just to listen to you and to me. Astonishing, wonderful, the gift. And we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit. We've received that same Spirit. So then, to thank God for this great and perfect gift given from above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.